Good morning. We've got a lot missing this morning, a lot are traveling. We have some sick, some I don't know where they're at, but please think about them and pray for all of them. That's part of what Christianity is all about. I'd like to remind you tonight, we have a guest speaker, Ron Brackett from the Central Florida Bible Camp. And when I talked to him on the telephone, he said, "Monty, I'm not a preacher, so I'd be honored to come and speak." He said, "I heard a sermon, and I loved it so much, I'd love to share those thoughts with Plymouth. Concern for the lost." And the Central Florida Bible Camp has a great concern for the lost. And I know the young people they influence, since I don't know how long the camp's been in existence, over 50 years, so longer than I've been alive. 52 years. And they've done a good work. You know how many souls have been saved through the work of the Bible camp? Many young people have given their lives to Jesus because of that camp. So this is a great work, and Ron is I've only met him once. He was nice then. So I'm assuming he's still nice. Please come and hear Ron tonight. I'm sure he would appreciate it. We have been studying the basics of Christianity. And I hope you can understand why I'm doing this. It is important for us to be grounded in the basics so that we don't get dragged off by Satan. We talked about it this morning. Satan wants to destroy us. He does not want us to go to heaven. He does not want us to have it good. He doesn't want us to be blessed by God. I would say out of spite, he wants to destroy us. So it's important that we know the basics of Christianity. And today, we're going to look at the changed life of a Christian. Because what name do we bear? The name of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is living within us that He might transform us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And that image is what kind of an image? What did we just sing a while ago? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Love is the center of our life upon this earth. Last week we looked at the need to be faithful. There were four things that I listed where we need to work at being faithful. Does anybody know those four things outside of me? Acts chapter 2. What was it the Christians followed? The apostles' teaching, number one. Number four, prayer. Fellowship, assembling, a fellowship, and the Lord's Supper, or the breaking of bread. We need to be faithful in these things. What does Jesus promise the faithful? The crown of life. Does that mean we can never fall and make mistakes? Thank goodness, because that's going to happen to all of us, isn't it? We're going to fall. But Jesus and His blood continually wash us as we strive to do these things. So if you fall down, what should you do, JC? Pray and get back up on your feet, because that's where Jesus wants you. And He's willing to help you back up. And today we're going to look at the changed life. Should a Christian be different from everybody else? Yes, he should. The things of Christ, the things of the Spirit, are much different than the things of the world. Aren't they? We want different things from most people in the world. Most people in the world want what? Yeah. Let's get the biggest house we can with a swimming pool. Oh, and we need a sauna. We need, and I'm guilty of this, a big screen television. we could name 100 things, couldn't we? And why do we want those things? Please. Did Jesus come to earth to please himself? Jesus came to earth to do what? To die that he might save us. What are we supposed to do, Charlie? To live for Jesus. To love as he loved. That means sometimes thinking about others than ourselves. Christ died that we might live for him. And the changed lifestyle of a Christian is going to be testimony to this world that Jesus is real, that he loves, and that he cares. I was just watching it, and I'm guilty, I like cartoons. I was watching a show called Phil of the Future. It's not a cartoon, this is a kid's show though. And Phil and his friend are having a dog sitting. You know, they're taking care of dogs that they can earn money to go to some kind of concert. I don't know what the concert was about, but Phil's going to learn something in this. He, from the future, so he has a gadget, and he can understand what the animals are talking about. So if the dog barks, he can put this machine on him and translate the barks. Kind of a dog psychiatrist. And he came across a dog that was really mean. And he didn't know why this dog was mean, so he asked the dog. And the dog basically told him, he goes, I'm mean because my master went off to college and no one loves me, no one cares for me. I get my food, I get my water, but no one takes time. And Phil said, he made a promise, I'm going to take care of you, don't worry about it. And so long as he was raising money and taking care of dogs, he kept his promise. But then came the concert, and the dog came to him with a problem, and Phil said, basically, well, here's my dad's old sock, I don't have time for you right now. When I get back from the concert, we'll talk again. And the boy left. But the dog ran away from home. And even though this is a simple kid show, what's that kid show telling us? Some things are more important than our own gratification. Friends. Family. It's amazing what children shows can teach us. And I know someone thinks Phil of the Future, that's fantasy. But the point was taken. Sometimes we have to take care of our friends and our family first. That's what Jesus is all about. And while our earthly part of our life is important, you know, there's a second part of human beings, isn't there? Our spiritual part. God wants us to go to heaven. But in order for us to go to heaven, we need to hear about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And do you know who's in charge of that part of God's plan of salvation? We are. Do we love Jesus enough and our friends enough that we're willing to tell them about God's plan of salvation? We have been called to change from selfishness to selflessness. God wants us to grow and mature as Christians. We start off as babes, don't we? And we have a growing process. Do we expect a 5-month-old baby to start cleaning its own diapers? To start making its own food? No, we don't. But yet sometimes we expect baby Christians to do that. When they still need milk, when they still need tender, loving care, we tend to, like that dog, well, I don't have time for you right now. Here's a sock. God has called us to service. He teaches us to think differently. And he does this through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. In Romans chapter 5, let me read verses 1 through 5. Paul is pointing out that Christians, even in hardships, need to think differently than the world. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, We have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. We also have joy with our troubles, because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us, because God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. He gave us His love through the Spirit whom God has given us. Even in times of hardship, Paul says, we need to think differently than the world. When the world runs into hardship, they tend to blame everybody but themselves. They try to get the government to come and help them, don't they? We're looking for handouts anywhere when troubles come. But God said, think differently. Hardships come to improve you, to make you better, to strengthen you. How many of you were in high school sports? Didn't the coach push you sometimes pretty hard? Why did he push you so hard? I remember, you know, I didn't take basketball, but they had this machine at Mount Dora that you put your shoulders on it and you just jump and jump. And he'd make those boys jump and jump and jump till the sweat was pouring down them and they were just about ready to cry. Why? Because they were being punished? Training. They're going to make them better athletes. And did they put up with that? Why? Because they understood the principle, didn't they? It was going to help them. And yet in life, hardship is there, sometimes put there by God on purpose, to make us stronger, better Christians. So Paul says, learn to think of it that way. This is for your good. It'll make you stronger and better Christians. We have been justified through faith. Now, justified is a legal term. It means to be brought back, to be made right. And I heard one preacher put it, just as if you had never sinned. That's what God does. He makes it as if you have never sinned, that you are righteous in His sight. He has justified you. When you put your trust in Jesus as your only atonement for sin, God will bring you back righteous in His perspective. And the sin is washed away in the blood of Jesus. Therefore, God has changed our past. Our past was sinful, but God has changed it and made us righteous. And the Bible says He will remember our sin no more. I can't do that. If someone sinned against me, I remember. I may forgive, but that won't get out of my head. It keeps coming back and coming back, and I remember it. The Bible says God won't remember it. He's forgotten. He has changed our past. We are not what we were. In Romans, well, it might have been Corinthians, excuse me, in Corinthians, a passage where God lists a whole bunch of evil things, and homosexuality was one of those things. You know what Paul said to those Christians? You were like that, but you have been changed. You have been made righteous. You have been made better. That's what happened. God changes our past so that our future can be bright, the brightness of heaven. Our present life is also different due to this new relationship with God. A peace has come upon the Christian that allows us to have a new perspective. Paul called it the peace that passes understanding. You know, when I read stories about some of those early Christians who were fed to lions, and some of those reports, they said the Christians were smiling. And in some cases, they would start singing Christian songs and showed signs of joyfulness. And the people writing about this could not understand why they're about to be eaten by lions or bears or something. Why are they singing? Why are they peaceful? Because that's what God gives us. It's a present from God. I don't know what I'd do if someone put me into a den of hungry lions. I hope I could sing and be joyful. You know, Jesus said to those disciples, be happy when they persecute you. And you know why? Because are they persecuting us? They're persecuting Jesus. And if we remain faithful, even unto death, what was the promise? You will receive the crown of life. We know that, and we have a peace that is within us. Our perspective has changed. We now see life through the New Testament. We can say we see life through the eyes of God. Life as we know it is only for a short time. Eternity is much longer than the life which we will live upon this earth. We have been given a new relationship with God. It even changes the way we think about our possessions. The world says, mine, mine, mine. What does Christianity say? God. It belongs to God. And if it belongs to God, it must be used in His service. How do we use our possessions? God says they are a gift. And gifts are to be used to glorify Him. In one place, Paul says, you know, some of you were thieves. He said, stop being thieves. Start working. And why should they work? That they might be able to give to others. That was Paul's explanation of why the thieves should stop stealing and start earning their money, that they might be able to help those who don't have jobs and who need help. All of this glorifies God, doesn't it? He has blessed us so that we might bless others. God wants us to look at our problems in different ways. He never said all your difficulties are going to go away when you become a Christian. Now, did He? He never made that promise. As a matter of fact, He said, you may end up getting more difficulties because of Satan. Difficulties should be seen as challenges. Challenges that will help you grow strong and faithful. Challenges add excitement to life, don't they? Why do most kids like video games? You ever thought about that? Life can get boring, can't it? But what do video games do? They give them a challenge. Something to sink their teeth into. And I think sometimes parents need to give children tasks to do. It gives them a challenge. Something to do. Something worth living for. And I think those video games sometimes bring that challenge. Bring that excitement. I mean, how often can you go out and fight dragons? We need to look at our difficulties in life as a challenge to make us better Christians, to make us better people. Because when we overcome our difficulties, what does it do? It makes us stronger, doesn't it? It gives us the knowledge that we can overcome the next difficulty when it comes. So we are able to see troubles as being temporary. We know that God will give us what we need to get through the difficulties. Your suffering here on earth is seen as bearable because Paul says what we're going to attain in the afterlife is far greater. Better for a time to be persecuted and to suffer here on earth than to suffer in eternity. So even when we are persecuted because of our faith, we shouldn't be surprised. Jesus' followers rejoice. Remember the story of Peter, James, and John? They were arrested for preaching Christ. And then the Sanhedrin came and told them not to do it and beat them. Do you remember what those three men did when they left? It said they went on their way rejoicing because what had happened? they suffered for the name of Christ. If Christ could suffer for them in the name of God, how a blessing they saw that as to be able to suffer for the name of Christ. And so they went on their way rejoicing. Our relationship with other people has also changed, hasn't it? We should think differently than we thought before. Christ's love should now control how we act in all of our relationships. Should influence how we work and act with people. 2 Corinthians 5:14-18. The love of Christ controls us because we know that one died for all, so all have died. Christ died for all so that those who live would not continue to live for themselves. He died for them and was raised from the dead so that they would live for Him. From this time on, we do not think of anyone as the world does. In the past, we thought of Christ as the world thinks, but we no longer think of Him in that way. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone, everything is made new. All this is from God through Christ. God made peace between us and Himself, and God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with Him. Why do we live? What's our purpose? To tell others about the peace that He has given us. Remember the Great Commission in Matthew 28? Go into all nations and do what? Make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them all things that I have said that they might do these things, right? That includes me and you as well. Our new purpose is to go and share the message of Jesus with the world. In Mark 5, there was a man that had demons in him, and Jesus cast out the demons. And this man wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, no, what I want you to do, I want you to go to your home, your hometown, and I want you to tell those people what I did for you. That's what we have been called to do, to tell people the wonderful news that Jesus cures sin. And that news we need to share with our friends and our neighbors and our family. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter said, but you are a chosen people, royal priest, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now he's going to tell us why we're this chosen people sent are. You are chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Have you ever done that? Have you ever told people what wonderful things God has done for you? That's what we've been called to do. To share the good news. As we become more like Jesus, we will develop a concern for lost souls. He is the message. And that message is love. God loved the world so much that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. Would you be willing to send your only son or your only daughter to the mission field? God did. Can you think of anybody within your part of the world that you could share the experience that you have in Jesus Christ, your peace and your joy, your knowledge of heaven? I'd like to ask you to do something, and it's in preparation for August 16th and 17th, our VBS and Friends and Family Day. I want you to make a list of 10 people. 10 people that you will pray for each and every day until that weekend. I want you to pray for them, and I want you to ask God for opportunities to share Jesus with those people. Or at least to share the things that God has done for you in your life. I want you to pray for those people and pray for yourselves that you might have the courage to do this. Pray that God will open their hearts and make them receptive. That you might also have the courage to invite them to the VBS and the friends and family. Your reason for living is completely changed. You now serve God. And He expects you to do these things. And He will hold you accountable. Remember Ezekiel? We'll read that tonight. But God told Ezekiel, you're a watchman. And if you see danger coming, it is your responsibility to warn the sinner. And if that sinner listens to you, he'll be saved. And if the sinner doesn't, well, it's his fault. And the accountability will be fully upon his head. But what would happen if you don't warn the sinner? Accountability will be on his head and your head. God has called us to accountability for the lost of our world. And while I can't do a whole lot for the lost in India except help the missionary, I can do something about the lost in my world, can't I? We do this because Jesus cared enough to come and die. He cared enough to teach us and prepare us that we might go out and tell others. We have been called to take our lives as a sacrifice and put them on the altar of God and live our daily lives for Him. Transformation will not happen if you continue to live as the world around you. How can the Spirit work if you're working against Him? You must change the way you think and the way you act. You must let the Spirit work and cooperate with Him. If you know something, you should do something, something is right, don't resist that, do it. Have you ever tried to change habits? Hard work, isn't it? But we've got something within us that will help us to change, that will help us transform, and that is God's most Holy Spirit. It lives within us. It's willing to work with us. It's willing to empower us to change our lives. But we must cooperate. We must obey. We must be faithful. God has made you the dwelling place of His Spirit. The Spirit is the seal and guarantee of our inheritance, but it is also the power that gives us the ability to go to the Father in prayer and to express the deepest concerns of our hearts. When God's Spirit lives in us, we are able to live differently from the rest of the world. You know, Paul put it this way. He says, you cannot even imagine what God can do in your life if you just let Him. If you tap into His resource through prayer. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. To Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ for all time, forever and ever. If you can't imagine it, God can do it. If you think you can't tell your neighbor about Jesus, God can through you. He can help you to be able to speak in ways you never spoke. Have you ever thought about the fruit of the Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit, it says He will put the fruit of the Spirit in you, help you grow in the fruit of the Spirit. But have you ever thought about what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's the very nature of God. He's transforming you into the image of His Son. Don't resist the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's an honor. Be like Jesus, isn't it? What were the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. the very nature of God can dwell in us. And Paul, in most of his letters, encourages us to put off our old nature and put on this new nature. These changes won't happen overnight, will they? They will happen. And if you learn to put love as the main focus of your life, you will not mistreat people, you will not misuse people, you will not offend them by doing ungodly things. Some people fail to make the initial commitment to Jesus because they are afraid they won't be able to do this. Brothers and sisters, by yourself, you won't. But God is with you. And what is impossible for us is possible for God. And if you do happen to fall as a Christian, it is okay. It is not an unforgivable sin. God is willing to cleanse you of all sin, even as you fall. He's already reaching down to offer you a hand up. 1 John 1, verse 7 and following. But if we live in the light as God is in the light, we can share fellowship with each other. Then the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we say we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He will forgive our sins because we can trust God to do what is right. He will cleanse us from all the wrongs we have done. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and we do not accept God's teaching. My dear children, I write this letter to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a helper in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the one who does what is right. He is the way our sins are taken away, and not only our sins, but the sins of all people. He wants us to be willing to admit our sins. He wants us to stand back up and to continue down the path of Christianity. He wants you to call Him in prayer, and He promises forgiveness. And He promises transformation. He will change you into the very image of Jesus Christ. There might be some here today that think they cannot change or have not yet accepted the new lifestyle that Jesus calls us to, who have not yet put on the Lord in baptism and washed away their sins in the blood of the Lamb. Maybe there are some here that have fallen and are too ashamed to admit it. Jesus is calling. His only intent is to love you, to help you, and to save you from your sins. Will you not be willing to come this morning as we stand and sing?